What would your life look like if fear was not an option? Find out in the new series, Them, The Scare. It's an all-new installment of the horror anthology now streaming only on Prime Video. The series takes place in Los Angeles in the early 90s, with the city on the edge of complete chaos. Deborah Iorinde returns this season as LAPD homicide detective Don Reeve, who's been assigned to solve a new case that has left even the most hardened detectives shaken, to find the Southside Slayer. As she gives everything to uncover the truth, something horrific and supernatural begins to haunt her and her family. Them, The Scare features the legendary Pam Grier, Luke James, Wayne Knight, plus many more, and is sure to keep you guessing at every turn. Horror fans, get ready for your new obsession. This is something you do not want to miss. And remember, fear is not an option. Watch Them, The Scare on Prime Video, now streaming.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Everyone, first question this week comes via They Killed Harry at They Killed Harry on Instagram. If you were forced, this is a good one. If you were forced to cut off your evil hand with a chainsaw, what alternate power tool would you attach to the stump? let's do suspension of disbelief on this one. Let's not go for too realistic because I don't even know how that would work. I don't think. I'll start. Sure, why not? I'm going to go with a leaf blower.
A leaf blower? Yeah. Okay. That's partially a really big thing to attach to your hand.
Well, it depends. There's some that are okay. Smaller than others. I live around a lot of trees. So okay. Come fall, I am constantly raking, leaf blowing, or mowing up all the leaves that are around us. So I wouldn't mind if it was just there at the ready. Like, I feel like I got a pretty good control of it. And let's be honest. Someone's running at me. You blast a leaf blower in their face, they're at least stopping to, like, okay. Say, what the hell just happened to me?
True. Okay.
Yeah. And, then, you know, fair. You can swing it. Like, it's fine.
Yeah. Okay.
How about you, Megan?
So, this question, did you ever see the movie? It's a horror comedy called Mom and Dad, starring Nicolas Cage and Selma Blair.
Yes.
Yeah, where they will go crazy.
Yeah, there's a contagion that makes them want to kill their kids. So, like, when you tell me power tools and horror, I immediately think of Selma Blair wanting to bust out the saws all because It saws all. So, yeah, I feel like that's a good enough reason to have a saws all. It saws all. So
That was actually the first thing I thought of. Like, right off the top of my head, like, realistically, I was thinking saws all. But I wasn't even thinking on Mom and Dad. I was just thinking, what would work on my arm? I think a saws all would.
You just need a catchy, like, jingle or motto, and it saws all because it saws all. Yes, that's it. I'm sold. I'm buying this power tool for my stump.
I bought it. The sentences we say. I'm buying this power tool for my stump. How about you, Zena?
You know what? I want one of those cool, like, USB ports. Then that way I can, like, put different things in there. So I would want...
There you go.
Yeah, I would want, like, a wooden hand so I could slap people. And then I want a spoon because for some reason I always find that I need a spoon. Because, you know, there's a lot that you can eat yogurt. Applesauce, you need to stir your tea. You know what I mean? Maybe even a waterproof flashlight. So just in case you want to go in the shower, I can take a shower in the dark. I don't know. I was just thinking about that. I think it could be fun.
So basically, to recap, we have a leaf blower, a Sawzall, and a Swiss Army hand.
Yeah, Swiss, yeah. Absolutely.
Oh, and
yeah.
Scissors. You always need scissors. And I can be Xena's scissor hand.
I don't think any of those were power tools.
No.
But they are in my heart. So
I just envision this crazy like hand that each digit does some kind of crazy thing.
Well, you plug that spoon into one of the USB ports, maybe it's electrified. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Maybe that counts.
Yeah.
I think Xena's just always wants to make sure her phone is charged.
That too. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, that is a real fear.
For which some reason, in horror movies, big dies. Problem. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Sure. Why not? All right. Second question came in via email from Jamie in Portland. Hi, Dark Trio. I'm sure you guys heard Joel Schumacher's cult classic, The Lost Boys, is being developed into a musical for the stage. I think you guys answered this, but it's been some time. Can you guys recommend one of your favorite horror musicals? It can just be a musical and not for the stage. Thankies. You're welcome, Yees. Well, let's start with you, Xena. Do you have a favorite?
Yeah, I have a couple, but I'll just go with one. The Devil's Carnival. I always have such a good time with that one. I love the soundtrack, and I just think that it's just such an awesome movie.
Nice. So I was totally thinking actual stage productions, and then I realized that I actually read the rules that you were following, and that it could be a musical. And I always forget about The Devil's Carnival, even though that was one that caught me by surprise as a good one. How about you, Megan?
I have a lot, but I'll say one. The Lure.
I knew you were going to say that.
I know. I couldn't not say The Lure. I have more than just The Lure, but for the sake of like one, The Lure. It's a mermaid, killer mermaid musical. What else do you need to know?
I'm going to go ahead and say one that I've never seen, and I don't have a whole lot of life regrets besides my general behavior around other human beings, but things I've actually missed out on was missing out on the Evil Dead stage play.
Oh, that's fun. If you sit in the splash.
That's though. What I've heard. Yeah. Like, and it was in Minneapolis. We just didn't have money at the time to pay for it. And it was just like, oh no, I can't. I'm so bummed out. I missed it. Cause I have a friend who's going to see Beetlejuice on Broadway.
Yes, that's coming to town in March, and I got tickets.
Excited. Yeah, I'm looking forward to hearing how that was. I finally just saw Hamilton on stage, and that was really awesome. I'd love to see Beetlejuice. All right, Megan, hit us with the rest of them.
I mean, 'tis the season for Anna and the Apocalypse, a zombie Christmas musical. Happiness of the Katakuris, which is one that's pretty under the radar because it's a Takashi Miike joint, which means that you know it's going to get weird. It's super weird. It's basically a family who decides to open up an inn, but the road that was supposed to be there to bring in traffic doesn't come. That doesn't mean that they don't get it, but people start dying and it gets super weird because it's Takashi Miike and it's a musical. I feel like Little Shop of Horrors is for sure one that we all like.
Yeah.
I don't know how I feel about stage fright. I kind of go back and forth where I really like it. Sometimes I'm like, gosh, theater kids, calm down.
I love it.
Yeah, I think I just like that's one that I have to be more in a specific mood for, if that makes sense. And then there's one more Phantom of the Paradise. This is a very good one. That's the 70s rock version of Phantom of the Opera.
Nice.
But yeah.
And just for funsies, I'm going to throw in Repo, the Genetic Opera, which I've only seen once, but I feel like it's worth a rewatch because the first time I watched it, I was kind of like, what the hell is this? Like, I don't think I'd seen a musical like that before. And I think it came out the exact same time as the movie Repo Men, starring Forest Whitaker and Jude Law. So it was like, it's like the exact same thing, but a musical. So I was really weirded out by what was happening and confused.
I'm surprised that you didn't say Sweeney Todd.
Me? When have I ever talked about Sweeney Todd?
I thought you liked Sweeney Todd.
The movie or the musical?
Either.
Thank you.
That's actually the same answer. I don't know why I did that.
I don't know. It's confusing people.
I watched the movie, the Johnny Depp movie, once, and it was fine. It was gross. Classically gross, actually.
Gross. Yeah.
Which is funny. I actually come across a lot of stories like creepypastas that end up in the Sweeney Todd vein because it's become such a classic. It's almost become a classic trope. But it's not classic yet. It doesn't happen enough to be classic, but no, that's a good one. I forget that there are horror musicals, even though we just named several of them. I just think of them as movies.
Saw the musical, the unauthorized parody of Saw, that's hitting national tour next year. And I do believe it also has a splash zone.
Ooh.
Oh my. I might need to find that.
Yeah, I think it's like sawthemusical.com if I remember. I wrote it up on Bloody Disgusting last week, so there is an article with all the details if you need it.
Oh, I was like not on. I tried to stay off most things last week. I'm going to need to check that out. Nice. Speaking of nice, welcome to the Bloody Disgusting Podcast, everyone. The podcast where we discuss all the disgusting things we love in the horror world. And to help us discuss the disgusting, you know her as lead movie critic for Bloody Disgusting, horror movie fanatic and journalist Megan Navarro. Hey, Megan.
Hey.
And you know her from a YouTube channel and website, Real Queen of Horror, and her infinite love for the genre, and the head of Bloody Disgusting's TikTok, Xena Dixon. Hey, Xena.
Hello.
And I'm John. If you listen to this on Wednesday when the episode drops, we hope your week's been filled with all the best kinds of horror. And if not, we're going to do a quick round the table for the movies, books, games, or anything else in horror that are making the three of us smile right now. Maybe it'll be things that'll make you smile too. So I'm going to go first.
Dun, dun, dun.
I feel like we fell back into the old format, and I'm going to give Xena a break.
Yippee!
Like, we're not going to come back to you. So I started out with one that just, I mean, it's got a place in my heart, so I figured I might as well check it out. I checked out 2023's Creepypasta on Screambox. Trapped in an abandoned house, a nameless man desperately searches for clues to how he got there. The answer is hidden within a series of disturbing viral videos, each of which begins to infect his mind. It's fine. I don't mean that disparagingly. It's very much like VHS. The VHS series, like, very much, except there's more vignettes, and some are better than others. There are a couple in there that I was legitimately impressed by. There's a few that felt not lower budget, but it felt like, this is hard to describe, as someone who loves and his career involves creepypastas, it's some of them, it's kind of like Stephen King. They don't always translate well. So some of the stories I was watching, I was like, oh, I get what you were going for here, but it's tough without like some sort of a narration, whether it's first person or not. Like, it's the visuals, as strange as it is, sometimes the words are scarier than the visuals because, you know, you craft the images in your mind. So some of them I thought worked really well. Others were just kind of so-so. And that might be sour grapes for me. Like, why didn't you guys ask me about this movie? I helped you guys. I'd be a double.
At the very least, you would have laid down in the background and played dead.
I would have laid down in the background of every single one of those vignettes. Even like, just put me in a closet. I could be a dead body in a closet that nobody sees.
Can you just imagine like the narrator is a dead body in the background? You just lay down, and from the background, you're like, and this is what happens.
It's like if John Kramer's lips were moving during Saw. Like, they press play on the recorder, and there's nothing on it. And he's like, oh, crap, I forgot to record it. And then all of a sudden, hello, Dr. Gordon. Did the dead body just talk? Ignore the dead body. See, now I got to write that. There you go. That's the next script. That's the next big movie idea. It's fine. It's anthology horror. If you like creepypastas, I think you'll enjoy it. It's about an hour and a half. It's on Screambox. It's another opportunity for creepypastas to get more traction in the digital age and give more creators opportunity to show their works. So I'm always all for that. Definitely not my favorite anthology, but it's a watch. It's a movie. Yeah. I'm not upset that I watched it. It's hard for horror anthologies to really knock it out of the park.
Mm-hmm. You know, there's creepypastas, I think.
Especially creepypastas. And especially when you're translating them to a visual medium, it's just going to be more difficult. And there's very obvious nods to actual famous creepypastas. Like, Ben Drowned is on a screen in the background. You see over and over again, like it's a real video game instead of what the concept actually is in the creepypasta, which I could go off on for hours. I won't. I'll save you all that. Instead, I'll talk about something I've been meaning to watch for probably 20 years at this point, 1932's Freaks, which is available on Tubi. A circus's beautiful trapeze artist agrees to marry the leader of the sideshow performers, but his deformed friends discover she is only marrying him for his inheritance. It was better than it's very much like watching a 1930s movie, the acting and the delivery and everything like that. I really liked it.
It's a good movie.
It's a good movie. I understand how problematic it could have seemed back then and even now for people to watch it. But if you have watched, like, I had seen American Horror Story's Freak Season before this, or Sideshow. Was it Sideshow or Freaks?
Freak Show.
Yeah, the Freak Show season. I think season 4 or something before this, obviously. And it is clear that this is a direct homage. Or that the Freak Show American Horror Story is a direct homage to Freaks, from especially the ending. It's like, oh yeah, okay, this is like the exact same thing and a nod to it all and the relationships and everything else. But it was just a good movie, whether it was 1932 or not, and it didn't feel as exploitative as I thought it was going to be, because it wasn't. It was trying to highlight these are people, like, and even at the very beginning, the carnival barkers, like, this was a fluke. Like, you could have ended up like any of these people, and yet you shake your heads at them and like call them freaks, like kind of chastising the audience before the movie even starts, which I kind of appreciated. Like, hey, knock it off.
Oh yeah.
Be cool. And it's available on Tubi, so why not check it out if you haven't? There's definitely some scenes in it where you're like, oh, that is, sorry, the dude crawling through the mud with the knife in his mouth is it's a little bit terrifying if I suddenly saw that. How about you, Megan?
I watched a movie that I very much think that Zena would love. Mm-hmm. It's on VOD. It's called Everyone Will Burn.
Okay, I love the title.
Yeah, it's I just like the, I'll get into it in just a sec. But plot wise, it's about a woman. Maria Jose, played by Macarena Gomez, who is in 30 Coins. She was in Dagon. She's a Spanish actress who's been around a while and definitely in horror. But anyway, it opens with her ready to commit suicide. She's about to jump off of a bridge and to her death. But a strange girl with dwarfism shows up and then ends up, she goes home with her, and the villagers kind of get very nervous, and then it escalates because they think that this is all part of a prophecy that's going to herald in the apocalypse. And so it kind of does this weird thing where it's toggling between like the drama of what's happening, like why is this woman depressed and why is she kind of ostracized from the town, versus the religious mania that kind of descends around them trying to stop what they think will be the apocalypse. So it's a little bit witchy, a little bit like fantasy. It's like shot like a Technicolor dream. The lead character, and this is why I think it's a Zena movie, is because she starts at an 11 as far as emotional intensity, and that kind of never wavers. And she's just like, it veers heavily into melodramatic territory, especially when she gets into kind of like a showdown with the mayor's wife is a large plot point, because this woman is antagonistic, and it gets into some crazy, almost dynasty levels of fights. So I feel like between the plot and the horror element of it all, the visuals, but definitely kind of like the witchy vibe, I feel like it's a Zena movie. I think that melodrama aspect of it might kind of be polarizing for some, but a lot of people think if you're into something you've never seen before, it's definitely fits that bill. I liked it.
Awesome. And adding that to my list.
Yeah, that's on VOD now. And then just because I've been elbow deep in holiday horror, I watched Rabid, which is for a hot minute tells you it's a holiday horror movie. But this is the 1977 Cronenberg movie. It's on a variety of places. I watched it on Prime Video, but I'm pretty sure it's on like Peacock and probably Tubi also. And if you are not familiar, after a motorcycle accident, a woman undergoes experimental plastic surgery that leaves her with a thirst for blood thanks to a crazy stinger that comes out of her armpit. That's how experimental this plastic surgery was, because it is Cronenberg. Anyways, so she's kind of a vampire, but everybody she feeds on winds up becoming a zombie-like creature, and then that spreads. They are able to infect others, and so you have, like, this weird twist on a zombie kind of outbreak movie, but by way of Cronenberg. This one's, like, a weird one for me. Well, this movie isn't weird because I love Cronenberg, but I remember being a kid and picking the cover box up for Rabid often, and I would have this image of the girl frozen in the freezer. And for whatever reason, that was like, nope, this isn't my movie. I'm not watching a frozen tundra movie. Because kid brains, we're not smart. Yeah. But yeah, I'm glad I waited. I don't think I would have liked this as a kid, but I do really love it now.
That's funny. I didn't watch this one as a kid either. I wasn't a big fan of the poster. I think I watched it maybe even like a couple of years ago.
There you go. See, whatever reason, the imagery on these cover boxes for Cronenberg movies, save for The Fly, I just didn't watch him as a kid until I got older. For good reason, probably.
Yeah.
How about you, Zena?
So I checked out the indie horror Black Mold on Tubi. It just came out like last week or 2 weeks ago. So basically there are these two photographers. They sneak into this abandoned chemical facility because they want to take photos. Then they get more what they bargain for because they come across this delusional, like, homeless man who's living in there, and he's saying he doesn't want to be found. And it's just like, okay, it's one of those movies. But then it completely turns because clearly it's called Black Mold. Excuse me. So, you know, there's some stuff going on with that. It's basically making them sick and causing them to see things. So, yeah, I know it premiered at Panic Fest earlier this year. So now it's on Tubi and stuff. And like, yeah, I don't want to spoil it, obviously, because it's still new and everything like that. But yeah, this movie really surprised me. I had a good time with it. I will say this. It is the kind of movie that I feel like you do have to pay attention to, because at one point, you know, I was trying to, you know, check my email and watch the movie, but you have to, like, pay attention to it. And I just appreciate, like, you know, the process of filmmakers, obviously, but it was just like, you can see what they were trying to do, which I feel like they actually did it. They achieved it and everything. It's just one of those movies where it's like, you've seen some things before, but it still felt fresh for me. And no spoilers. I won't tell you how or why, because it's actually in the trailer. There are scarecrows in this movie. Like, I was losing my mind, you know, when it made me so happy.
One more scarecrow horror. Yeah.
We need it, you know? So, but yeah, I feel like this is probably one of the best indie horror movies that I've watched this year. I really had a lot of fun with it. So if you like psychological thriller horror movies and black goo, this is the movie for you. Yeah. Then I just did like a rewatch. I rewatched Wolf, the horror romance from 1994 on DVD, but it's streaming everywhere. So basically, Nicolas Cage, he becomes a werewolf, and it's awesome.
No, okay? Try again.
Nicolas Cage. Oh my God. Close. Oh my Jack Nicholson.
There you go. There's a Nicolas.
I was thinking about him. Can you imagine? He would actually be pretty cool.
I was like, did I Mandela affect the hell out of that?
It's one of those days. But yeah, he becomes a werewolf and it's really awesome. When I first watched this movie, I remember seeing like the poster, well, you know, in the movie store and everything like that, the video store as a kid. But for some reason, I didn't watch it. So I watched this one actually, I think, for the first time last year. And I really, really liked it. There's a lot of saxophone music in it, even during a werewolf battle, which is really cool. And the cast, I said Nicolas Cage, don't listen to me. He's not in this movie, just in case you're like, oh, I'm going to watch it. He's not in this movie. So Jack Nicholson, Michelle Pfeiffer, James Spade, like it has a really awesome cast. And again, saxophone music, you know, in the 90s, there's just something about it. But if you like werewolf movies, I highly recommend this one. And then real quick, because I got a little bit sidetracked. So basically, Jack Nicholson, he plays this character where he is a publisher and he used to be like top dog. Okay. But now since he's older, he's pretty much his job replaced him. His life kind of sucks. Like the way people treat him is just terrible. You feel for him. And then his wife just leaves him, you know, you'll want to check out why. But yeah, he just keeps on just getting served suckiness on a platter. So you feel for him. So finally, when he does get bit by this, you know, black wolf, it's like, you know what? This is actually an improvement. I know, like, people try to make it seem like, you know, whatchamacallit, like, this is going to ruin his life in some ways. But, you know, it actually improved his life. It made him more confident. He was no longer just someone's, just doormat. So that was really cool to see. And again, obviously, it is an older movie, but I still think that the werewolf transformation is really cool, especially seeing him in, like, Central Park. It's just a lot of things in this movie. I really, really enjoyed it. So highly recommend this one.
My mom took me to see this movie when I was really young in theaters, obviously. Wow. And the only thing, because I, you know, saw it as a kid, didn't remember it for a long time, except for two things. They mark their territory. I remember that distinctly, was so insane. Yeah. And then some guy in the audience, I don't know if he was enthused by this movie or what, but I never forgot it. But when the movie ended and the credits start rolling, he stands up and he yells, and then they had puppies. And then I kind of wanted that movie to happen. Yeah. Like the sequel, give me werewolf puppies. But yeah,
that's funny because I think I remember watching this movie with my parents. I think they rented this because I think it was a big deal because it was Jack Nicholson, Michelle Pfeiffer.
It's like an adult horror movie. Yeah.
And I don't think it was really marketed like a horror movie, even though it was The Wolfman. I think they were kind of making it like a romantic thriller drama type thing, or love triangle kind of. And the only scene I really remembered out of that was after he gets bit, he doesn't need his glasses anymore. And he's going through editing. And I just remember how quickly he was making edits. Like circling with a red pen, moving on. Like, how does anyone read that fast? Maybe that was like the werewolf aspiring lies. Writer
his
in me. Like,
life improved.
He's so good at his job.
Yeah. Isn't that kind of weird? You know, the Universal horror movies started in the 30s and they keep attempting to reboot them. So the early 90s, you had Wolf, which was Wolfman. You had Mary Riley, which was horrible, but also... Jekyll and Hyde. Then you had Kenneth Branagh's Frankenstein, Coppola's Dracula. So you had this weird, like, the 90s was the era where they decided, we're going to redo these monster movies, but for adults and make them hoity-toity. Some of it worked, some of it did not.
Yeah.
Make it real classy.
Just classy adult fare.
Classy adult fare. All right, before we move on, what are we watching? How did we watch it? I watched 2023's Creepypasta on Screambox and 1932's Freaks on Tubi.
I watched Everyone Will Burn on VOD and Rabid on Prime Video.
I watched Black Mold on Tubi and Wolf on DVD, but you can find it everywhere. And please, it's Jack Nicholson. Just don't want someone. Oh, no, Nicolas Cage. Okay.
But if you find the Nicolas Cage version, let us know. I'd like to see that,
yes,
too.
Yes, please.
Can you imagine him as a hairy werewolf, like, but Vampire's Kiss style?
I'm sure that it's on the video rental shelves right next to Sinbad starring in Shazam.
There you go.
What would your life look like if fear was not an option? Find out in the new series, Them, The Scare. It's an all-new installment of the horror anthology now streaming only on Prime Video. The series takes place in Los Angeles in the early 90s, with the city on the edge of complete chaos. Deborah Iorinde returns this season as LAPD homicide detective Dawn Reeve, who's been assigned to solve a new case that has left even the most hardened detectives shaken, to find the Southside Slayer. As she gives everything to uncover the truth, something horrific and supernatural begins to haunt her and her family. Them, The Scare features the legendary Pam Grier, Luke James, Wayne Knight, plus many more, and is sure to keep you guessing at every turn. Horror fans, get ready for your new obsession. This is something you do not want to miss. And remember, fear is not an option. Watch Them, The Scare on Prime Video, now streaming.
All right, enough about what we've been watching this week. It's time for Megan to bring us up to speed on the news and trending topics in the world of horror. So what's going on, Megan?
Speaking of werewolves, in the wake of Invisible Man back in 2020, Lee Whannell is reteaming with Universal and Blumhouse to direct a new take on the Wolfman. Christopher Abbott is cast in the title role. He was recently in Poor Things, so I like that he's going from a Frankenstein-like movie to a werewolf movie. Ryan Gosling was previously attached to play the Wolfman, with Derek Cianfrance on board to direct. Neither one are still involved, although Gosling does still get a producer credit here. But yeah, they've both departed, and Whannell is now directing with Christopher Abbott. And it's going to howl its way into theaters on October 25th, 2024. It's weird because I would like, I need more details on this because Whannell was originally the director and then wasn't. It was going to be Cianfrance, and then now he's back at the director's chair, which, good. I like him. But yeah, it's plot. It's just so far the only details are a man whose family is being terrorized by a lethal predator.
Oh.
Yep.
Okay.
All right.
I mean, really, we don't need anything more than that. Wolfman, Lee Whannell, sold.
I feel like it sums up about 60% of all horror movies.
Yep. This in it. Done. And then this will surprise nobody, but Tobin Bell's Jigsaw returned this year in Saw 10, and it was a huge success, not only at the box office, but Rotten Tomatoes critics loved it as well. 107 million worldwide, I believe.
Wow.
So yeah, it comes as no surprise that Lionsgate is already moving forward with the next installment, Saw 11, which has already been dated for September 27, 2024, almost exactly a year from Saw 10's release. The news, they dropped that on social media, where they shared teaser art and the tagline, "The games continue," or "The game continues." So no other details. Obviously, it's a year away in terms of plot or who's involved. We do know that the writers for Saw 10, Josh Stolberg and Pete Goldfinger, will not be penning the script for 11. Stolberg tweeted, "Pete and I are sitting this chapter out. Very excited to see this one as a fan of the franchise. I think people will be pleased with the team." I don't even know that we need plot, really. I mean, it's a Saw movie, right. So you know what to get. But I kind of have a hunch that Saw 10 sets up where this next one would go.
Yeah,
with
I
a specific showdown between two characters.
So. Yeah, they're trying to... The way they ended Saw 10, and frankly, the success of what they decided to do. Yeah. Works for
so,
me.
So yeah, and then an original non-sequel slash franchise slash reboot IP news. Shudder aims to kick the new year off with a rockin' splatter comedy, Destroy All Neighbors. And I feel like this might be John news for a lot of reasons. It stars Jonah Ray Rodriguez and Alex Winter. Alex Winter is pretty unrecognizable in this trailer, which the trailer is available. It debuted last week. It promises one zany and gory ride ahead. In the film, William Brown, played by Jonah Ray Rodriguez, is a neurotic, self-absorbed musician determined to finish his prog rock magnum opus. He faces a creative roadblock in the form of a noisy and grotesque neighbor named Vlad, played by Winter. Again, you do not he's under a lot of prosthetics in this trailer, so he looks like a creature feature already. Finally working up the nerve to demand that Vlad keep it down, William inadvertently decapitates him. But while attempting to cover up one murder, his accidental reign of terror causes victims to pile up and become undead corpses who torment and create more bloody detours on his road to prog rock Valhalla. It's described as a twisted splatter comedy about a deranged journey of self-discovery full of goopy practical effects, a well-known ensemble cast, and lots of blood, which sounds like a good time to me. And it's hitting Shudder on January
12th. Nice.
All right, listeners, your turn. Where do you think Soxy will take us next?
Soxy.
Space. Come on, space. How many times do you think we can say prog rock in one episode? You can call her Texas.
12.
I think we can get there. It's like the meow game. It'll start to get forced after a while, though. You can call or text us at 224-475-1040. The number is also in the show notes, or feel free to email us at bedisgustingpodcast@gmail.com. Finally, Zena's going to make all our lives easier, and the sea of horror movie options and clue us in on what's appearing soon we should be watching. So, Zena, what should we be watching?
So, first up on Tuesday the 19th, so by the time this episode comes out, we have Santa Steen. This will be available on Screenbox. When Max Causey was six, he accidentally killed Santa. 12 years later, Max rectifies his mistake by resurrecting him, but soon realizes the creature he created is a bloodthirsty killer, and it's headed right to his friend's Christmas party. Then Marame, this would be available on Tubi. When Lalo becomes haunted by a mysterious ghost of a young girl, he realizes his life is in danger and sets out to defeat the ghost for good. Then just in case if you miss Thanksgiving in theaters, you'll be able to purchase it and watch it on premium VOD. We also have The Ghost Station. This will be available on VOD and DVD. While covering an accident, a young reporter learns that her source was dead prior to the interview. As more mysterious deaths occur, she and her partner dig deeper into the case, eventually coming face to face with a horrifying truth. Then Onyx, the Fortuitous and the Talisman of Souls is available on Blu-ray. Then we also have Pet Cemetery Bloodlines. This one is available on DVD. It's also on Paramount Plus as well. We also have Satanic Hispanics hitting DVD, as well as The Exorcist Believer hitting DVD. Then on Tuesday the 26th, the day after Christmas, Pig Killer will be available on Blu-ray. This one is inspired by the terrifying story of Robert Willie Picton, the pig farmer, the killer of a woman whose horrific crimes shocked the world. And finally, just in case if you're not already subscribed to Screenbox, there are a lot of Christmas horror movies available on there, like Rare Exports, Christmas Evil, Day of the Beast, Deep Red, Black Christmas, Silent Night, Deadly Night 2, Secret Santa, Santa Scene, and so much more. So live your best life.
Yeah.
And that's the Bloody Disgusting Podcast for this week, everyone. We will be off next week for the holidays, so we want to wish you all and your families very happy holidays. If you do not celebrate happy the holidays and instead you wish it was Halloween like I do, I feel you. I'm looking forward to it being over too. We will be back in 2024 with our wrap-up of our favorite movies of the year. If you'd like to read more from Megan in the meantime, you can check out her reviews at BloodyDisgusting.com and on Twitter at HauntedMeg, which I will be checking out to find the musical version of Saw. Xena can be found on her own website, RealQueenOfHorror.com, and the YouTube channel of the same name, or at LovelyXena on Twitter. And you can hear me on my weekly horror narration podcast, Creepy. Don't forget to hit subscribe on your favorite podcast app, and feel free to follow us on Instagram and Twitter at BeDisgustingPod, or drop us an email at BeDisgustingPodcast@gmail.com. And don't forget to check out all things Bloody Disgusting on TikTok at BeDisgusting. So for this week, I'm John.
I'm not prog rock.
Still under.
I'm just Xena.
Grab some prog rock, cozy up on the couch, and watch something you love. Just make sure it's something bloody. Happy holidays, everyone.